And just to recap, the West Side Fire Recovery Project is a plan for logging and other activities to pick up the pieces left behind by the devastating fires of the summer of 2014. The final plan came out last week. Environmental groups and the Karuk tribe filed suit 3 days later. So right in the middle of all this is Klamath National Forest Supervisor Patricia Grantham, who's our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Patty, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey. It's a pleasure to be on.
It's quite clear from the record of decision itself where you write, I found no simple solution that fully achieves all the goals that I, the Forest Service, tribes, interest groups, other agencies, communities, and members of the public have for the project area. So it sounds like another day at work for the Forest Service.
You can say that.
So give us the general outline for what must happen after major fires.
Well, I think that the, you know, in particular in 2014, you know, was just an incredible fire season, even by Klamath standards. And, you know, we burned over 200,000 acres total. The West Side Project takes a look at about 185,000 of those. You know, we started public engagement around what should happen after these fires, you know, before they were even out. And, you know, we're hearing from the communities, lots of questions about what's going to happen, you know, what are you going to do? And so, you know, we embarked on that dialogue quite early and, you know, heard from a whole variety of people, like you just said, in terms of, you know, we heard from the whole spectrum of, you know, treat everything, you know, salvage, harvest everything to, you know, do very little. And, so there was a whole spectrum of restoration actions, you know, at our doorstep at the end of the fires.
You know, for any process that takes place under NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, you have that no action alternative, which is essentially do nothing. Was that ever a strong candidate in this race?
Well, the no action alternative is always, always considered, and it's always very useful. I mean, it provides that baseline, you know, kind of that so what baseline, you know, whatever we're proposing out there, it's kind of like a so what, you know, versus doing nothing. And so, you know, in the case of the West Side fires, you know, we had private property involved. You know, Ms. Burns talked a little bit about that, about the private timberlands. You know, during the fires, we had 13 communities evacuated, over 800 people. So just a lot of you know, private property to take a look at, a lot of WUI, wildland-urban interface to address, you know, our road systems. You know, some of those are evacuation routes. And then that whole opportunity about, you know, what can we do to address the next fire, that fire that's inevitable. You know, fire is a natural part of, you know, the Northern California, Southern Oregon, you know, ecosystems. And so, the remarkable thing about the 2014 fires was just the proportion of high severity fire. And when I say that, you know, I want your listeners to envision just, you know, an ocean of, you know, black trees with, you know, absolutely nothing, you know, growing underneath them, that high severity piece. So what can we do now that can get us ready for that, you know, inevitable next big fire in, you know, 20, 25 years? You know, you look at 87 and then 14, and so you kind of set your watch by it. What can we do to kind of get out of this high severity, threatened communities and infrastructure cycle?
So let's talk specifically about the one part that people seem to want to focus on, which is the idea of leaving some standing dead timber. If there's been a lot of fire through there already, there's not a lot of fuel left to burn, you'd think, but I'm not a scientist sitting here. So what are there large areas being left untouched?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, I think there's upwards of about 50,000 acres of that high severity fire that I just described out there. You know, our salvage harvest is, you know, looking at about less than 6,000 acres of, you know, net harvest, and then, you know, we're doing some roadside fire-killed trees removal, you know, that kind of thing. But there is a lot of, you know, high-severity areas that because of access or costs, you know, or other impacts, you know, people have talked a little bit about, you know, coho salmon and, you know, certainly, you know, we've got spotted owls out there. That, you know, the project just, you know, the trade-off was, you know, we just couldn't go there. And so You know, our strategy is basically to treat these ridgetop areas, you know, to remove the fuels, the heavy fuels through salvage, and then go in and, burn the remaining, post-logging material that kind of that's left there. But that's really our focus is along these ridgetops and a network of, salvage harvest area, ridgetop, fuel break areas, roadside hazard removal and fuel break areas, that we can really put a network out there so that, that next fire that's going to show up here in 20 or 25 years, we have a really good shot at, keeping it to 20 or 30,000 acres, versus, upwards of 200,000 acres.
Patricia Grantham is the Klamath National Forest Supervisor and therefore the officer in charge of the Westside Fire Recovery Project on the Klamath National Forest, which is treatment prescribed for about 184,000 acres of the forest burned in the 2014 fires. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So 5,570 acres proposed for logging. How many of those acres proposed for clear cut?
Well, I'm trained as a forester, Jeffrey, and so clear cut's a pretty technical term, and it's a, it's a way of kind of regenerating the forest, and so I would say salvage harvest, risk reduction is a better way to describe that. And again, we're focusing on removing dead trees from the landscape.
Mm-hmm. But so basically all of it.
Well, yeah, all of it. We're gonna remove dead trees. There are places where within our salvage units, there are inclusions. There's places where, if we found live trees, we really favored to leave them there. Unfortunately, there was really very little of that. We took a look at leaving the largest trees that we call legacy trees, leaving them within these areas too, because they're important for the next forest as it as it grows up. We also left buffers in riparian areas and other sensitive areas out there within these harvest units.
All right, call here from Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Patricia Grantham.
Howdy. If this suit goes through and takes the normal 2 to 3 to 4 years to go through the appellate process, will there be anything out there left to salvage?
That's a question I'd asked earlier of Ann Forrest Burns. I mean, is there a drop-dead point for which nobody's going to bid on trees that have been standing there for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
Point, I think saying exactly what that is the real challenge. We recently, a few weeks ago, we took some of our forestry experts out into the field and cut some trees down to see what the deterioration looked like. And, I was pleased to see that there was a fair amount of value left, certainly a fair amount of commercial value left. We're very concerned, though, that, as the summer and the hot weather progresses, that, we're just going to see a lot more, wood-boring insects in those, and the trees drying out and checking, and we're certainly at a place where there is a steep curve for losing the value.
All right, now I want to move on to the hazard trees, and I want to be clear to differentiate between past and present. In the past, I have heard the complaint that that the idea of trees that could potentially fall on roadways and people is rather broadly defined. So for the purposes of what you're doing here with the Westside Recovery Project, how broadly or narrowly did you define hazard trees, Patty?
Well, hazard trees were pretty narrowly defined, I think, for this project. And again, it was fire-killed trees, and so, just kind of imagine that, just the, black trees, no foliage. We also took a look at, fire-injured trees, applied a mortality standard to those to say, well, what's the likelihood that these are going to die within the next couple of years? And, there weren't a whole lot of those out there. I mean, basically the Westside Fire either kind of burned really hot or fairly cool. And so there wasn't a lot of in between. But, the vast majority of the trees that we're removing our, you know, our black dead trees.
Mike in Medford writes an email. He says there needs to be an alternative. Tourism provides more local money than logging and more jobs. Saving the forest through carbon credits is also an avenue. The economic value of the forest should outweigh the logging value. Why do we log these forests when we can do tree farms on flat land? Anyone driving back from the coast in central Oregon sees mountains shaved bald. It looks devastating. Is this what we want Oregon to be? And I suppose you could add that to California as well, because that's what we're talking about with the Klamath Forest. To the point of tourism providing more money than logging, any analysis of that from the Forest Service?
Well, you know, tourism is a, you know, is a big contributor. And, you know, I've been on the Klamath for about 9 years and hosted, you know, quite a number of fires along the Klamath River, and, you know, it's not uncommon to see, you know, our rafting industry, you know, continuing to be quite active with smoke in the air. But again, you know, I think that smoke in the air does present, you know, challenges, and the overall objective to the West Side Fire Recovery, you know, is to put this network of fuel breaks and restoration actions in place out there so that, you know, we just don't have these huge fires. We, you know, we don't have 183,000 acres, you know, that burns at a time, because, you know, I can guarantee you that, you know, that kind of fire does affect the summertime tourist industry.
You had a report not very long ago that indicated a fairly frequent fire historically on the Klamath. I mean, how frequent are we talking here?
Oh, I think that virtually all of the Klamath, probably the natural fire cycle was probably something, you know, between fire returning, you know, every 5 to 15 years.
5 to 15 years. And then within the forest in your 9 years, have you taken some efforts to mimic the natural cycles and any of those planned in this record of decision?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the great things about the Klamath Forest Plan is that we can use natural fire here, that, you know, we have lightning starts. We can kind of take a look at sort of what the risks and the benefits are, you know, of using that fire to, you know, reduce fuels naturally out there. We've done a little bit of that since I've been on the Klamath. Unfortunately, as you know, we've been stuck in about 4 years of drought. You know, thank goodness we're kind of having a winter right now. But, you know, those extreme conditions, it's, you know, pretty tough to, you know, get to the point where, you know, you're comfortable with using fire, you know, in that way, and that, you know, we're, that I feel assured we can protect our communities under those conditions.
Bill in Eureka sends an email, and he has two questions. Number one, isn't the decades and decades of even-aged management and plantation style of same-age, close-growing trees a primary contributing factor to the burns seen in 2014? And number two, what proportion of the proposed harvests consists of green trees?
Yeah, so I'll do the first one, the second one first. And there is some green tree removal. It's largely associated with those fuel breaks and the roadside fuel breaks, ridgetop and fuel and roadside fuel breaks. Those are smaller trees, you know, less than, I think, 14 or 16 inches, you know, to create kind of a get rid of that understory kind of fuel. So really, that's where, you know, green trees come in. You know, virtually all of the rest of it is dead trees. And as for the first part of his question, you know, I would say that, you know, the real driver out there is, you know, years and years of fire suppression. Again, that cycle of fire returning every 5 to 15 years on the forest, you know, has been disrupted by fire suppression actions over the years. And so we get a lot of fuels build up. You know, we also had, you know, I think that the Lake Fire came up from 1987 on an earlier panelist, and, you know, that had a fair amount of high-severity fire. You know, within 20 or 25 years, those standing dead trees, they fall down, you know, brush comes through them, and, you know, you just end up with this continuous fuel bed that when you get the next fire in there, you know, it just... you know, it just ends up with a footprint, you know, of even larger high-severity fire.
Is the fuel bed enhanced? And we have just a few seconds left. Is the fuel bed enhanced then, though, by having plantations with evenly spaced trees, same species, that sort of thing?
Well, I think that, you know, our plan for reforestation in Westside is, you know, really a mix of native species that are more fire-tolerant, and certainly much fewer trees out there in the landscape than the prescriptions would have driven about 30 years ago.
Okay, not an easy job, clearly. Patricia Grantham is the Klamath National Forest Supervisor in charge of the Westside Fire Recovery Project. I want to thank her for joining us.